This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Valens for you. Remember him? Had a great career ahead of him. And unfortunately, in 1959, I think it was January 59, he and the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly got into a plane. Very snowy, stormy day. And that was it. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday, August the 4th. And, boy, I had to clear out and disinfect the studio, Ed. All that alcohol that was being imbibed on the Good Morning Clearwater show. Has it come down to that with those people?
I guess. It's just a little taste testing, that's all.
Okay.
I mean, we've taste tested other things like syrup and...
Yeah, you have. I remember that, the syrup. That's pretty cool. You know, we're going to turn into the Food Network.
Well, a new product came out. We wanted to, you know, check it out.
Especially if it's a beer.
Well, that was the first time.
Well, I don't blame you. Although in the morning, you know, can you drink a beer in the morning yet? Be honest.
We did.
I know you did, but I mean, normally can you?
No, I don't drink beer.
Okay, good. Okay, good. In a few minutes, Ethan Blevins will join us. He is from the Pacific Legal Foundation. And we are going to talk about landlord rights issues during the pandemic, whether or not local governments can cancel rent. If you're a renter, wouldn't you like it to stop? So we're going to talk about that. I think it's a very interesting topic. Stay tuned for it. And Dutch scientists say there is no data showing that face masks really work. Now, we're going to take a look at that and find out whether or not that is true. And President Trump is warning of the problems with mail-in voting. He says that he has the authority to curtail it. Now, does he? We're going to talk with Master Barber Andrew Ceresi and his barber pole about all of that. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, we're sort of on a movie kick for the last three or four shows. Today, the top 10 greatest movie songs of all time. I wonder if Ed knows any of them. We'll find out. We'll find out. I'll ask him as we go down the list. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin. Best hair cutter in the Tampa Bay area. It's just off State Road 580 on Overcast Drive, but you have to call for your appointment. Here is the number, man, 727-733-3773. Again, 733-3773. Okay. Well, a lot going on right now. I found this story, Ed. People are going back and forth about how effective masks are. And you really start to wonder. I mean, we've heard that, you know, you're breathing through the mask. Why can't the, you know, if your breath is coming through the mask and all that, can't the virus do the same? Well, Holland's top scientists have examined key data and research and have declared there is no firm evidence to back the use of a face mask. In fact, they argue that wearing them may actually hamper the fight against the disease. Now, that's interesting. While 120 countries in the world have ordered their citizens to wear masks in public to prevent COVID-19, the Dutch are doing it a little bit differently. Here is Cohen Berenda. He is a spokesman for the National Institute for Public Health and the Environment. He said face masks in public places are not necessary based on all the current evidence. There's no benefit, and there may even be negative impact. Wow. Now what the heck should we be doing, right? Holland's position is based on assessments by a management team, a group of experts advising the government. It first ruled against the masks back in May. Then they reevaluated the evidence several times, including again last week. So, now they say it believes they detract from a clear three-pronged message that has kept death from coronavirus down to less than half the rate in Britain. That is, wash hands regularly, maintain social distancing, and stay at home if you have any symptoms. They pretty much say that's what you have to do. They say the one place where masks are mandatory is on a crowded bus or on trains and ferries, where you're standing together and sitting together for quite a while, which would make some sense. They say we've seen this approach work. But they say face masks should not be used as a magic bullet that halts the spread. And they say also face masks can give you a false sense of security. People thinking they're immune from the disease when they're not. So here's the thing. I don't think wearing a face mask makes it too much worse. I would think if, all things being equal, if you put a mask on your face, let's say you cough or you sneeze or something like that, it does kind of keep all of those germs from floating too far, you know? So, but in Holland, I guess they're doing, so far they're doing okay with it. Very interesting. Usually, you think of the Dutch as usually pretty intelligent people, so we'll see where all of that goes. Now, here's Joe Biden. This is kind of interesting. They claim, the Biden campaign, that Biden's agreed to three debates, but Trump and his group have not agreed to it. Biden, quote, is very much looking forward to debating Donald Trump. And that's from their communications director. She added that the campaign has already agreed to three presidential debates, while the Trump campaign has not. Well, I guess, now, if I was Trump, of course I would want as many debates with Joe as possible, but I would be more concerned with the moderators asking the questions and making sure that they're fair. If you got, you know, your debate on MSNBC or CNN, you know right away you got two strikes against you if you're a conservative or Trump. They're going to softball Biden and they're going to hardball you. Now, you got to get Fox News in there and get that guy that does the 6 o'clock segment, Brett Baer. He's very, very, I think he's one of the best there is. I hope he's on the panel and that they get a chance to use him. By the way, Senator Ted Cruz must have a sense of humor. He was reading this statement by the Biden campaign about the fact they want to debate Trump, and he writes, basement strategy part two. I wonder when he's down there in the basement. I noticed the last time I saw Biden, he seemed to have a little bit of a better tan. Do you notice that, Ed? It wasn't quite as mortuary white as normal. Did you notice that,
Biden? Well, maybe he's got a tanning bed in the basement.
Yeah,
huh?
That must be it.
Make him look hip.
God knows he hasn't been outside. Been under there all that time. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, very interesting topic, whether or not landlords have a right to continue rent during the pandemic.
Me, oh boy, the whole world can see that you were meant for me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. but you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back and delighted to have Ethan Blevins join us from the Pacific Legal Foundation, where he is an attorney. He works on landlord rights issues, among other things. He's familiar with these cancel rent proposals. And Ethan, I noticed that in Ithaca, New York, the government there has passed a resolution to cancel rent. I'm thinking if you're a landlord and that's your source of income, perhaps your only source of income, we kind of forget about the landlords. They're always the bad guys, right? In the movies, and the poor tenant, the renter, that's the good guy. So everybody wants to start talking about having the government step in and cancel rent. Haven't they stepped in a little too much already?
Well, yes, at least in some places. The cancel rent movement seems to forget that, especially at least small landlords, are just like any other small business. The CARES Act and other acts are trying hard to provide help for small businesses, unless you're a landlord, in which case the approach seems to be to penalize and to cripple them instead of helping them make it through the pandemic. So we have housing after all this is over.
Yeah, I mean, right now we are pushing for a new stimulus check situation in Congress, sending more money out from the federal government as our debt gets higher. And I always worry about, first of all, how much good it does for the governments to intervene. I know, in a pandemic, you've got to have government intervention. Up to a point, but it's always a question of how much. And when you start looking at businesses and start deciding, which ones can be allowed to continue and which ones cannot, you start playing God or Solomon, and then you're getting into whether or not renters should be able or should. I would think that you should just leave that between the renter and the landlord, right?
I think that's typically best. And as you say, there's no question here that governments have authority to address a real emergency. We need to recognize that renters are struggling. We also should recognize that landlords are struggling too, especially small mom-and-pop landlords, which are the kinds of landlords we want, right? They're the ones that are usually going to be more flexible. They're going to typically have lower rent, but they're going to go out of business if they can't collect rent every month. And a lot of these eviction bans that are out there or rent forbearance laws do, at least on paper, say that that eventually the tenant's going to have to repay. The reality is, though, that a lot of landlords aren't going to be able to wait, and a lot of renters are just not going to be able to pay that money at the end of the day anyway.
Right.
And so we're asking landlords to carry the entire burden for this economic crisis, while other small businesses are getting help as they should, we should be looking to helping landlords weather the storm as well.
I think we tend to forget we're the land of the free, supposedly. Remember, that's what we were called, the land of the free? And this certainly isn't free when you start dictating, you know, when you have a contractual agreement between two people, in the case of a landlord and a renter. I have friends that are refurbish homes, you know, buy them, refurbish them, and then rent them. And then, you know, they're constantly going over to do work, this, that, and the other thing. But they develop a rapport with the people that are renting, and they'll work this thing out. And this is what I know these people, my friends, you know, are doing. They are continuing to take rent. But certainly, I mean, if something came up where, you know, they don't want to go through the hassle of having to find a new renter in the middle of a virus pandemic, you know. I would think most of these landlords, for their own reasons, personal reasons, would want to negotiate if indeed their renters are having a little bit of a financial deal.
Well, that's definitely the impression I've had. And as a general matter, I think there's a misimpression that landlords are really ready to pull the trigger at any moment on eviction, when really it's kind of the last-ditch effort. They want to avoid that, I think especially right now. They want to avoid that because they know it's very unlikely they're going to find somebody to replace that outgoing tenant in the current environment we have. So, yeah, there's bad apples out there. There are going to be landlords that aren't willing to negotiate. There are going to be those situations. But we need to pass laws that work for the vast majority of people, not the small minority that might not be willing to help. And these laws just punish landlords, violate their constitutional rights, and ultimately will reduce the amount of housing available as we come out of the pandemic.
We're talking with Ethan Blevins. He is an attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. He works on landlord rights issues. And so going back to this situation in Ithaca, New York, where they have passed a resolution to cancel rent, is that going to hold up, do you think, under any kind of legal challenge?
I doubt it. We have seen legal challenges to bans on eviction, but as I said, for the most part, they at least pay homage to the obligation to pay rent by saying that the renter eventually has to pay it back. As far as I know, Ithaca is the first to expressly say, no, we're just going to cancel rent, period. They have to get permission from the New York State Legislature to do that, and I think that probably won't happen. Oh. But assuming it did, there's no question that landlords have property rights that they care to decide who lives on their property, for one thing. And they have contractual rights, which you already alluded to. The Constitution gives them a right against their states who can't interfere with the obligations of contract. And so we have to consider their rights, and we have to consider what the policy implications will be when all these landlords go bankrupt.
Yes, indeed. Now, there are already on the books, generally, renter rights, homeowner rights, you know, with mortgages and rent, where you can't just toss people out on the street. They have to go through a process, and it normally takes quite a while. In fact, I've heard horror stories about trying to get people out that are completely, you know, abusing the rules and staying for years in homes. I'm sure you have as well, Ethan. I guess so I don't know if we should have that much sympathy for the renters. I guess we have sympathy for everybody right now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right in that we should be looking to the welfare of everyone in this circumstances. Sure, renters are struggling, and they should be receiving help. But the point is that they can receive help without throwing landlords under the bus at the same time. There's a landlord in Massachusetts currently suing the Massachusetts eviction ban named Marie Baptiste. And Marie, she's a Haitian immigrant. She is a registered nurse, but she's currently unemployed because of an injury, while her tenants are fully employed and haven't paid any rent since October 2019.
Really?
So we need to keep in mind that that landlords are not, as you mentioned earlier, the stereotype of the slumlord in every situation. You know, they're normal people who need that help.
Yeah, And normally, I think the majority of them are probably, it's kind of like a small business and even a side business, right? It's not like most of them are big corporations. I don't know exactly all the statistics, but across this country, I know of so many people that, you know, will rent homes and the like. And so where is this all going? I mean, we're trying desperately to save businesses right now. You know, this pandemic continues, and we don't see, as of yet, we don't see an end in sight. You know, with all of these businesses that are taking a hit, certainly the real estate business, I don't know if home sales are up or down, but rentals and the like, they must be, I guess they're taking a hit as well in that industry, right?
The rental industry was definitely taking a hit. So in July, 15% of renters across the country didn't pay rent, either because they were unable to or because of these moratoria that are in place, which obviously create an incentive for them not to pay. As far as I know, the actual home sale industry has been doing okay. I think it's starting to dip now.
Okay.
But the rental industry is in big trouble. And we live in a country more and more that relies on residential rental to house people. Now, if we come out of the pandemic with a lot of these small landlords in bankruptcy or foreclosure, we're really going to have a hard time making an economic recovery, or all these people are struggling to find housing.
Really? You know, it'll be interesting to see at the end of all of this how many people are really evicted, you know, from their places. I don't think the percentages will be that high because, again, people, you know, they work together. They understand maybe, hey, all right, you're the renter. You can't pay the full amount. I understand that. You're struggling with your work situation. How about you pay X percent? And then at the end of all of this, we'll look back and we'll figure out a way to kind of, you know, make good on the amount that you haven't paid. I mean, it would seem to me there are so many things. Or maybe, hey, I'm going to reduce your rent for the next couple of months, but I'm going to ask you to start doing some work kind of to fix up the place a little bit. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do if you just allow freedom to work in this kind of a deal.
Right. I mean, that's what freedom's all about, is allowing people who know their individual circumstances better decide how they want to fix their problems. When government's involved in it, government doesn't understand those individual circumstances. It provides one-size-fits-all attempts to solve problems, and that inevitably doesn't work for everyone, like Marie Baptiste, whose employed tenants aren't paying rent.
Right.
While she's relying on her retirement income.
Yeah, that's terrible. When they've got the money to do so. Don't know the entire details on that story, but it sure doesn't sound good when she needs that. Ethan, I want to thank you so very much for coming on. Very, very interesting topic, and wish you well.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Ethan Blevins, Pacific Legal Foundation. We are going to take our break. When we come back, President Trump is warning about this mail-in voting. He says he has the authority to curtail it. Really? We're going to talk with Master Barber Andrew Ceresi about all of this, so stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi,
I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
We are back. And I guess President Trump did an interview, rather contentious one, with Axios. And he said in it that it could take 2 months. 2 months for Americans to see a result from the presidential election if they did a mail-in voting format in a lot of these states. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to worry a little bit about this whole mail-in thing. He says he has the authority to issue an executive order on mail-in ballots. I'm not so sure he has. Here's what he said, though. I have the right to do it. Quote, we haven't gotten there yet. We'll see what happens. Andrew, the master barber, do you think President Trump has the right to cancel mail-in voting?
Let me tell you what. You better have an executive order to do it, because I'm hearing rumors that Nancy Pelosi is going to hold the Senate and the Republicans under siege for the stimulus package. It says no stimulus package for the American people unless we have mail-in voting.
Wow. Did that happen?
I'm hearing rumors about that, Paul.
I have not heard the connection. I just saw Nancy's fine face on the television here in the studio. She's talking about something. In fact, I think they're holding a vote on something right now. It may be on the stimulus package, by the way, right now, but I'm not sure. But I don't know, Andrew, that the president can kind of wave a magic wand and say, we're not going to have mail-in voting here or here or here, you know. Now, as you know, we've been doing it here in Florida. And up until he brought up the subject of mail-in voting, to be honest with you, I never gave it much of a thought. But the more I think about it and the more I realize that, you know, all of these...
It got messed up in Florida. Look at Broward County. If you remember the supervisor of elections there, Governor DeSantis let her go with her pension because of all the that was going on there. Remember?
Yeah, but was that because of a problem with the mail-in voting itself?
Everything is a problem with the mail-in voting.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm beginning to think that maybe we should all just realize that, you know, once every 4 years, can't you go to the poll and stand in line? Can't you social distance? Can't you just do it? What's the problem here? I'm beginning to think I will go to the poll rather than mail it in. What do you think?
I agree with you with the presidential election, Paul.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you. Listen, I think that they're trying to pull everything they can right now. You got Joe Biden hiding in the basement. You got Hunter Biden missing. We haven't heard a thing about him. I think he's with his father in the basement.
Yeah, I think they're both in there right now. They're counting. Counting their money from their deals with.
And I think the Democrat Party is grooming Mr. Cuomo.
Oh, you got to be kidding!
No, I believe they're grooming Mr. Cuomo.
For what?
I think they're going to give him a step in on Joe Biden. I don't think they're going to make none of these, none of the debates. There's no way. They're not going to do it. Something's going on. I smell a rat.
Uh-oh. Well, I would like to hear Cuomo sing, because isn't he the son of Perry Cuomo?
Yeah.
No?
No, he's not that lucky. Perry Cuomo was a nice barber.
He was. That's
this
right.
This guy's got nothing to do with the barbers. He comes from a long list of scumbags, believe me.
My, a little... no, footnote, my dad met Perry Como in his job as a television radio columnist up in Chicago. Perry Como was one of the nicest people to ever sing or be in Hollywood. He was a complete
honest man. My uncle used to go golfing with him.
He was really as good as he was really as good as you thought he was.
Yep, he was a fantastic man. But back to the politics here, Paul.
Yes, sir.
This is going to get down and dirty. Believe me.
No, I think it's already started.
This is nothing yet. Like I say, I think you're going to find out with this. You call it a vote going on now about something, but I think Pelosi's holding him hostage, buddy.
Wow.
She's trying to get everything she can to bail out these cities that have blown all their money out of this thing, and she's trying to get mail-in voting. You know what? I say the hell with the stimulus.
I wonder about the stimulus.
Write it out, buddy. Write it out.
I think there's a point to be you have a point about the stimulus. I don't see that it's kind of like spitting into the ocean with the stimulus checks. I don't see, after all the money that goes out like that, what it really, you know, really.
Well, they think they're going to buy votes, Paul.
Now,
you know,
why
that's
is
the way to get them, throw money at them.
Why is it that the Democrats are so much for the mail-in voting and the Republicans are not?
Well, I don't think the Republicans know how to harvest mail-in votes yet.
Okay.
They're still practicing that one.
All right.
But the Democrats have got it mastered from what I understand.
Okay.
Look at the people that have been picked up, even in the primaries. With the fraudulent voting with the mail-in votes.
Yeah. Now, be honest with me on this one, Andrew. We're talking with the master barber here. Have you ever mailed in your vote? Have you done mail-in, or do you?
Oh, always... yes. Yeah, I've done it for the last few elections.
Yeah, so have I.
But I'm getting nervous now. Like you said, I didn't realize how bad it is.
Yeah, I never gave it a thought. Yeah.
Listen, if it wasn't for President Trump bringing all this stuff up to light to see what's going on here, I mean, even with the deep state, look what's been going on with them for years, how we've been getting screwed over. Okay, and now you're seeing all this coming out with the fraudulent voting. If it wasn't for Trump, we never would have known it, and they would have kept putting anybody in office they want in there, Paul.
I found an interesting story here. I want you to comment, if you might. Two anti-abortion or pro-life protesters in Washington detained over the weekend after writing in chalk, "Black preborn lives matter." And they did it in front of a Planned Parenthood office. So they got arrested. And I'm thinking, there are mayors writing Black Lives Matter all over the place. They did it in front of Trump Tower, did they not, in New York?
Double standards, Paul.
Isn't that terrible? That
it's double standards.
And these people got an okay to go there, too, these pro-lifers. They got, you know.
So isn't that using their First Amendment right?
You would think so.
I mean, come on. But it's a double standard, Paul. You know, it's got all in. And it's going to end on November the 5th.
And they only use chalk so that when it would rain, you know, it would wash it away. I mean, what a double standard. This really makes me upset when
you think you're upset now, wait till things keep going the closer we get to the election. I'm quite sure that we're going to see a lot of things going on. I think before the election, we're going to be surprised. I think you're going to see the Russia gate come up to where we can see what's going on. I think you're going to see some indictments going on there. I think from what I understand, you got Tom Hanks. Okay, he took a Greek citizenship. You got Ellen DeGeneres. The show being investigated.
Wait. Yeah, you're right about that. But give Tom Hanks his due. It was one of these special awarded citizenships. It's kind of like getting a.
Key
to the city.
This way, in case anything goes down about Epstein, he can boogie real quick and say he's a Greek. He's got nothing to worry about.
You know, I am kind of surprised about Ellen DeGeneres, though.
Okay, what are you surprised about?
Well, I mean, see, giving away this money all the time on the show, and I know people that watch her show and really love watching her, and all of a sudden you hear all this backbiting that's going on behind the scenes where people can barely, and the more you read about it, the more it turns out she seems like she's like the Wicked Witch of the West or something.
I remember the song, and when we get behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You never know, Paul.
No, I guess you don't.
But I never liked her from the beginning.
Why?
I didn't like her.
Why?
You know, like people don't like Trump?
Yeah.
I don't like her.
Okay.
Period.
All right.
It's like two repelling magnets, you know? There's just no explanation why it happens.
Okay.
But they repel.
That's. Let me ask you about, here's an interesting story. Orlando Magic forward Jonathan Isaac made headlines last week when he was the first NBA player to stand during the national anthem, and he did not wear a Black Lives Matter shirt. Everybody else was kneeling. I thought that took a lot of courage.
Yeah, isn't he the one that broke his ACL or something the other night?
He did. He did.
Okay, now you think that might have been intentional, a shove or whatever?
He was diagnosed with a torn ACL Sunday night after going down with the injury in a game again. You know, I never thought of it that way. You think somebody...
Of course. It's a setup. It was fixed to happen. Paul, listen. The sports right now, the athletes are going bananas. You know why?
Why?
Because they know nobody wants to even watch them anymore. The only one I know going to be watching the football games is Big Ed, man. Out of all the people I know,
Ed, are you
going to?
Ed,
that's the only one, man.
Oh wait. Now there is the playoff hockey going on. In fact, our beloved Lightning won in double. Well, wait a second. Our beloved Lightning won in double overtime last night, and Ed told me he did watch some of that, and I watched some of it.
Isn't there something with the NHL even bowed down now? Didn't they?
I don't know.
That might
about
not
the
have
NHL.
Been the Lightning, but you know what?
No,
Paul,
I don't think they're doing that kind of thing in the NHL yet.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. The Boston Bruins, I believe, in the New York Rangers game, I think it was.
Well, they didn't take a knee. They kind of held hands, didn't they, or something?
Well, that's okay. One took the knee, and they all held hands.
Holding hands.
Come on, you know.
Bunch of sissies.
It's all the same crap. And
why
I'm
are
not
they holding hands? Are they? That's getting too familiar. And by the way, there's a pandemic going.
That's right. They're not supposed to hold. Well, did you see? I posted something. I was watching the news on Friday morning, and they had a back-to-school bash in Tampa, and they were filming right on Channel 13. Not one kid or adult had their masks on. There's 150, 200 people all around playing games, having a good time.
Did you hear me read about the Dutch earlier on the show? One of the first stories I did when we started.
Nope, I must have missed
it. Oh,
that.
Well, then you'll get a kick out of this. The Dutch government... Let me find it here. Basically, it says they have not found a reason to back wearing masks. Their health authority there in Holland. Where is it here? Dutch scientists. Here it is. Holland's top scientists have declared there's no firm evidence to back the use of face masks. Indeed, they argue wearing them may actually hamper the fight against the disease. And so, while all these other countries are ordering the face masks, not in Holland. They're doing things differently. So far, they're doing okay, too. Interesting, isn't it?
In Holland, where they make all the cheese.
They make
all the cheese and wear wooden shoes, right?
They make great wooden shoes.
And the cheese.
Don't they make all the pinwheels?
I don't know about that, but I know they make cheese. And probably from all the cheese
they do make
they
cheese.
Make.
And tulips. You know all the tulips in Holland.
And it could be from all the fungus that produced making this cheese, because, you know, cheese is a fungus, right?
Yes, it is.
Growing, and it could be that this virus is allergic to the cheese.
I think cheese actually comes from milk, and if you let milk sit, it turns into cheese. I think that's how that works.
It's rotten milk.
It turns into rotten milk, yeah.
It's a fungus.
It's not a fungus. It's a mold. Let's be scientific here. It's a mold that develops on milk. But go ahead. Other than that, you're right.
It's a mold. It sounds like Nancy Pelosi. She's a mold.
Yeah.
I'm sure we find out what she's trying to do. I want to hear more about this, where she's trying to hold everybody hostage. Mail-in voting or no stimulus check, huh?
Yes. Now, one other thing today that is going on, I don't know if you're even aware of it, but Ted Cruz, you know, the senator from Texas,
yep,
conservative, is aiming to highlight the role of Antifa and like-minded groups that are rioting across the country. He's convening a Senate hearing today on the issue of these violent protests and these groups, while alleging that radical left-wing groups are engaging in, quote, organized terror attacks designed to tear down government institutions. That will be very interesting. I bet you don't hear much from the mainstream media about this hearing.
He probably won't hear anything about it, but I'll tell you what we're doing. We're getting a bunch of people together, and wherever we find out they're having protests and Antifa and Black Lives Matters there and stuff,
right?
What we're doing is we're just sitting back and we're watching where they park their cars.
Yeah.
And when they park their cars and go off to do their protesting, we're putting Trump stickers all over the back of their cars.
Don't
we're
vandalize.
We're just going to sit back and relax and watch them destroy each other's cars when they get back.
As long as you don't do any vandalizing.
No, remember, we're just putting the stickers right. up.
And by the way, I can't wait. A week from today, we're going to be with you over at that Republican headquarters in Palm Harbor. In fact, the show prior to ours, Good Morning Clearwater, will also be there. Ed will be there. We're going to have fun.
It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a very good time. We're going to get a lot of things good. We're going to get Trump elected, buddy. That's what we're working on.
That sounds good. That
As
sounds
a matter
good.
Of fact, Friday, I believe Ron is going to take the show, and he's going to tell you more about what he got planned and what's going on over there for Tuesday.
You mean I won't hear your dulcet voice on Friday?
No, you're going to get to hear Ron's voice, I believe, on
Friday. I'm getting a little bit weepy, but that's okay. I like Ron.
Hey, and my poor brother, you know, he had the show on up in New York the other day because he called me up the minute we got off, and he told me, I heard what you said about boards.
Oh, yes.
And poor Angelo got all upset over that one.
Well, you cut off his time. You're the one that took his place, you know.
I told him. I said, listen, right now we really don't care down here what's going on in New York, to be honest.
Isn't that cruel?
We're more worried about getting people elected down here. So
you're a cruel,
this is what we've got to do.
You're a cruel younger brother. I'm going to make sure.
You got to take care of business, Paul.
I see. Okay. It's always a pleasure talking with you. And even if I don't talk with you on Friday, I know I'm looking forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
All right. If you want to swing by after the show, swing by.
Oh, you want me to?
Sure.
Okay. I may do so.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much, my friend, and I'll see you in a little bit.
Have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes, the Master Barber. I say one thing. He's got a lot of energy. If everybody was like him, I think this country would be a hell of a lot better than it is right now. All right. Let us take our final break. And, among other things, the top 10 greatest movie songs of all time.
USA.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry.
Hey, we're back for our final segment here. Boy, the time just flies, does it not? Well, let's find out what's going on with that hurricane. Ed is not only our sports guru and station manager, he is also our weather expert. And I guess at the... I never pronounced this right. Is it Isaias?
Isaias.
Well, Gesundheit. Isaias. That's the worst name I've ever heard for a hurricane. I can't even pronounce it. Isaias is rolling up the Atlantic Ocean here. Has it passed Florida? Is it already in the North Carolina area? Where is it?
Well, into North Carolina, moving very fast. The next New York is actually bracing for storm surge. It's moving so fast it probably won't lose its tropical characteristics until it hits Canada.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, is it just a tropical storm at this
point?
Yeah,
and right now it's just a tropical storm.
So that means it's got to have,
between 35 and 75.
Ah.
Wind.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's got to be under 75 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Yep.
Okay, there we go. All right. Now, do you remember, Ed, these mystery seeds that were mailed from China in envelopes?
I heard of them.
Did you find?
Yeah, they were a little salty to me.
You wouldn't dare. If they came from China, you wouldn't dare. Now, I'm going to tell you what they were. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has identified some of the mystery seed packets. They seem to have been sent to more than 1,000 households here in the U.S., largely from China. They've been identified as food staples like mustard and cabbage seeds, as well as herbs like mint, sage, rosemary, and lavender.
Hmm.
There's nothing apparently from what they've been able to discover that was harmful
or poisonous. Nothing malicious. Hmm.
Now, why did they do that? Well, apparently, they had some sort of a scam going on in terms of some programs that they were trying to make themselves look good by saying certain numbers of people had received certain products from them. So they had to mail the products out to make it official or something like that. But here's the Department of Agriculture. We don't have any evidence indicating that this is anything other than a, quote, brushing scam where people receive unsolicited items from a seller who then posts false customer reviews to boost their sales. So there you go. Interesting. Also, I found this morning, and it's kind of buried with all the other things going on, but the chief executive officer of Ford Motor Company is stepping down. Jim Hackett, stepping down effective October 1st. He hadn't been there very long. Going to be replaced by the chief operating officer, Jim Farley. Hackett's departure comes after more than 3 years at the helm. I guess maybe 3 years is a long time to be a CEO. But Ford shares have lost over 28% this year. I guess people aren't going out buying cars as much during a pandemic, too. I don't know.
Nope. Okay. Can't pay their rent. Anybody get a car.
You got it. And finally, before we get to our top 10, I found this little tidbit. A Minnesota lawmaker whose house Black Lives Matter protesters visited said that the demonstrators didn't just stand there on the sidewalk. They came up, banged on his front door, demanded he come out and address them. He said basically they turned out to be a loud, profane mob. This is called doxing. When you go to a person's, a politician's house, you find out where he lives, or you publish it. And then all these demonstrators go, and they kind of intimidate you, standing out there, you know, and you got your family and your kids and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think that stinks. I don't like that. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican. I think it's very, very bad. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. I want to see how many of these songs you've heard. And then when we get to number one, I'm sure you'll tell me which.
I'm going to tell you, my top song involves a boat.
Oh, a boat.
I won't give it away.
Okay, let's find out if there's
So you don't say I made it up.
No. Let's find out if there's a boat in it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. These are, by the way, this is the American Film Institute. You know, they come out with top 100s of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took the top 10 greatest movie songs from them. So here we go. Number 10, The Sound of Music. Remember that?
Yeah.
The name of the movie as well. Julie Andrews, 1965, composed by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. Number 9, Staying Alive. You remember that, don't you?
John Travolta's
movie, Saturday Night Fever, 1977. Who sang it?
Bee Gees.
Yes. Very good.
That whole album was just fantastic.
It was. Yeah. Great music. I agree. Number eight.
I see you out there with your polyester pants.
I'm going to tell you something. You're going to laugh. I actually danced to Staying Alive in Norton's Bar.
Uh-oh.
And I got a standing ovation from the people. Now, this is about a year ago, and I'd had a few.
Just out of random, you decided to dance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I did it a second time, and I got another one. Okay, so you can stop making fun of my polyester clothing and my dancing. Number eight. The Way We Were. Do you remember the movie?
Barbra Streisand.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Barbra Streisand, 1973. I liked the song. Marvin Hamlisch was the composer. Number seven. When You Wish Upon... Remember that? Yeah. Wish Upon a Star? That's the Pinocchio movie, 1940. Jiminy Cricket sang it. And a guy by the name of Lee Harlan and Ned Washington were the composers. Number six. Mrs. Robinson. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah.
Simon and Garfunkel from The Graduate, 1967, written by Paul Simon. Number five. Everybody knows this song, White Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Bing Crosby sang it, 1942, in Holiday Inn. It was written by Irving Berlin. Number four. Moon River. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Williams sang it. Breakfast at Tiffany's. It was written by Henry Mancini. Number three. Now, I wonder if you have ever seen this movie, but it's the same name. Singing in the Rain.
Heard of it. Never watched it.
Well, Singing in the Rain, a 1952 Gene Kelly movie. It was a great song. It was written by Ignacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed. Number two. As Time Goes By. Have you ever heard of that song? Da-dun, da-da-da-dun.
I think so, yeah.
Casablanca.
Mm-hmm.
Which is considered by many to be the best movie ever made.
It was black and white, wasn't it?
It was.
Before my time.
It was before my time. Dooley Wilson sang it in 1942 in the movie. It was written by Herman Hupfeld. Herman Hupfeld. Okay, Ed. I want to see if you can guess what is the number one greatest movie song of all time.
I'm going to say, let's see, was that 1995, 6, 7, 8? I don't know, 19-something. Celine Dion and the theme from Titanic.
Oh, yeah, that was a good song. Celine Dion did sing it.
Yeah.
I didn't say it wasn't. Here we go. You got to remember, Ed, that the Titanic went down.
Yeah.
That was a big bust.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually... It's Over the Rainbow.
Oh, God.
Sung by Judy Garland in The Wizard of Oz in 1939. It was written...
They need to update their files.
Somewhere. Well, that was a great song. And I'm going to give you, since we have a little time, interesting tidbit. By the way, Harold Arlen and E.Y. Harburg wrote it. They almost cut that song out of the movie. They almost didn't allow the song to be kept in the movie.
Mm.
Now, everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz, right?
Yeah.
You remember when she's sitting there, it's in the black and white part of the movie?
Yeah.
Before they go to color.
Yep. Yeah.
Beautiful song. All right. Thanks for listening. We're going to be back on Friday. Stay safe, and remember, freedom works.